Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to thank you, Ambassador Dunn, for organizing these substantive discussions on the four core issues, including agenda item two for today. And first, let me touch upon the basics. Since the atomic bombings in Hiroshima and Nagasaki on 6th and 9th of August 1945, respectively, the vision for a safer world free of nuclear weapons has been a shared goal of the international community. As the only country to have ever suffered atomic bombings during a war, Japan has a deep understanding of the catastrophic consequences of the use of nuclear weapons. On the other hand, it is also a solemn responsibility of a sovereign state to protect the lives and property of its people. Japan strives to advance nuclear disarmament and security simultaneously, taking into account both humanitarian and security considerations. Against this backdrop, we must reassume realistic measures with the cooperation of all states while recognizing the highly challenging character of the global security environment. Many initiatives are underway for implementing of the past commitments and on a very unilateral or bilateral basis. And I understand that the, as talked about by the Dr. Wan, that the CEN initiatives or global enterprise initiatives or Stockholm Ministerial meetings, and these are all initiatives are kind of dealing with a similar thing toward the NPT 2020 and beyond. Japan has been and will be focusing on a wide range of concrete steps, such as more transparent and responsible declaratory policies, measures to reduce the load of nuclear weapons in doctrines and policies, measures to enhance transparency and reducing the risk of any use of nuclear weapons, and strengthening negative security assurances. In addition, of course, we are committed to working on nuclear disarmament verification and addressing issues related to fissile material for use in nuclear weapons and other explosive devices. And after hearing the Mr. Wan's, I think, presentation, that there are many potential risks related to the nuclear. And also, there are four concerns with regard to focusing on the risk reductions. But Japan is in a position that to support the unilateral activities and to work hard on the measures to reduce risk reductions. And now I'd like to take advantage of this opportunity and briefly discuss and respond to the issues related to today's panelists' presentations and points raised by colleagues here in Council Chamber. And I'd like to focus just on two points. And first, with regard to the existing stocks of the FMCT, I think the FMCT High-Level Preparatory Group report answers the question on how to control and manage stocks in accordance with experts' view. As is well reflected in the report, concrete and technical consideration should be given in due course of negotiations on each category of stocks and how to manage them. This consideration would enable us to respond to questions such as which categories of stocks should be covered by a treaty. Moreover, in relation to stocks, transparency enhancing and confidence building measures should be explored. In this regard, it is worth exploring that the treaty includes preambular language encouraging states to undertake voluntary measures to draw down stockpiles of fissile materials. And second is related to effective verification or resource issue, which has been raised by the EU representative. We should not only stress the importance of cost effectiveness, but also seek a high level of verification mechanism. In the FMCT High-Level Preparatory Group report, reference was made to the view that if the definition of a treaty is too broad, extensive and complex verification would be required, and significant verification costs would be generated. However, we believe that definition and verification should be treated separately. Instead of limiting a ban on fissile material production based on what can presently be verified, given costs and current technologies, materials, and activities to be prohibited, we should first consider the scope of prohibition based on the object and purpose of the treaty. Only then should consideration be given to cost-benefit analysis and technologies in order to specify what can practically be subject to a verification. This approach has precedence in the case of safeguards in NPT non-nuclear weapon states. From a cost-benefit perspective, it is important to make full use of the expertise of the IAEA. I stop here. Thank you, Mr. President.